This is Louise Gartner with Spectrum Commodities, taking a look at the wheat markets for Friday, July 9th. Well, wheat markets have stabilized and are fairly quiet. We do see some volatility in the Minneapolis market, which is by far the most active market at this point in the wheat space. And of course, that is because of the drought across the northern plains up into the Canadian prairies. And that looks to continue. We've had some pretty decent rains last night, in fact, across northeast Montana, northwest North Dakota, but the Canadian prairies have not really gotten that much, and it looks like the heat is going to bear down again across much of that region and into the northern Midwest as we get into late July. And that's going to dip down too into the central plains. There is some chatter about Kansas being drawn into the drought status, but at this point they are not there yet, and they've had pretty decent rain throughout much of the growing season, and much of that rain is centered on western Kansas and eastern Colorado, which is typically your drier areas. So far, the southern plains, central plains, and then of course the southern Midwest and everything on east is fine for moisture, but it's a pretty stark contrast as you get into the Dakotas, northern half of Iowa up into Minnesota, and then all of the west as you get into the mountain region west and northern plains. It's an intense drought, intense heat, and crops are withering before our eyes. And of course, that's why Minneapolis has been the leader. The spreads of Minneapolis versus Chicago is at a contract high, and it has held those gains for quite a while. Even with the volatility and the trading back and forth in the wheat space, Minneapolis has managed to hold very strong against Chicago. And I think it will continue to do that unless we get a big move up in corn and soybeans. I think Chicago wheat will perform better simply because that's where the hedge funds are going to plow into, and high volume spec traders are going to go to Chicago. There's just not enough liquidity in Minneapolis, even though that would be the crop that's most hurt by the drought as it and the heat dome as it filters into the east. But it's going to be Chicago, excuse me, because as corn goes higher, feed grains go higher, not only here in the United States but worldwide. And the Chicago wheat is the benchmark contract for feed wheat around the world, and just wheat in general around the world. So it's a bit of an ironic twist, but you have to be really careful about those spreads as you get into this time of year, and especially a year like this where weather is so critical and it's threatening. If you had rain everywhere in the Midwest and the crop looked fine, it would be completely different. I'd be comfortable saying stay with that Minneapolis-Chicago spread. But there is the chance. A longer range forecast is showing the high pressure ridge coming back into the northern plains up over into Minnesota and the northwest and northern part of the Midwest. And of course, that would be a game changer to what we see now happening with pressure and with rains, spotty rains moving through the western Midwest. That would just be so different because now you're really getting into the heart of pollination next week and the week after for corn, and then late July, early August for soybeans. And that's when that high pressure ridge is being forecast. So we just have to be really careful. You can just be outright long, but to be in the spread with Minneapolis versus Chicago, I think carries additional risk, and I don't see the point of doing that. So just being outright long Minneapolis is fine, but to be short again with the Chicago, I think does carry elevated risk as we move through these next 4 to 5 weeks, and that's my concern. So the drivers of this market, of course, are weather. And it's spring wheat, corn, soybeans in that order. Corn especially is going to be the big driver between the row crops. We had the issue in Brazil. They had some early freezes, which is looking to have done significantly more damage than what the trade originally estimated. So that's going to take time to filter through the market. CONAB yesterday estimated Brazil's corn production at 93 million tons, which is significantly higher than what the private guys are looking at. They're in between 85 and 88. So, and that was 3 million tons less than where CONAB was a month ago. So we see that the corn production estimates are declining, but not as aggressively as one would expect at this point. Of course, the freeze was pretty recent. So I would expect that USDA in Monday's supply-demand report to reflect pretty much what Brazil is reflecting. But it doesn't really tell the whole story about where corn exports are going, where the corn demand is going to head. Brazil is going to have to shut down their corn exports earlier than normal. It's going to push the demand out to the United States as we get deeper into our production season. So this is, I think, it just adds to the bullish fire for the long-term outlook. So it just does not seem that the U.S., that the bull market in corn is going to end with this production season, with this crop. So that takes us into the winter, it takes us into next year, and it takes us into another battle for acres, depending, of course, on what the Southern Hemisphere production is. But it puts a lot of pressure on Brazil and Argentina to produce a good corn crop, or else we're really off to the races. So that's another season. I would imagine Brazilian farmers will respond to that, but much of their corn is the second season corn. And so we're just going to have to wait that much longer. It puts that much more, again, bullish fire to the corn space as we move through these next several months. So any hint of weather problem now becomes even more exaggerated because you don't have that production coming from Brazil. We knew that Brazil was going to have a tough season anyway because the soybean harvest was late, corn seedings were late. It pushed them deeper into the dry period, and it did in fact turn dry a little bit earlier than normal, in fact. And so the Brazilian second season corn crop was never really got off to a good start, and it's just run into one problem after the other. So again, that's going to shift more demand to the United States. Now I will say Ukraine is the world's third largest exporter of corn. They have had a pretty good season so far. They're looking at big wheat production, and corn would be up there as well. So we'll see. They're a fraction of the exports of what the U.S. or Brazil has. And so they're not going to be able to fill the void left by the drop in production of Brazil and what's threatening production here in the United States. Getting back to wheat, I think seasonal lows are being formed. We are right into some key support levels, and the market just seems to be stabilizing and moving sideways. I think all the wheat markets have potential to the upside from here, led by Minneapolis. I think Kansas City will be next because you're looking at a shortfall of high-protein wheat, and it's not going to come from the Southern Plains hard red winter wheat, which, generally speaking, from Texas on up through Kansas, has been running below normal protein. A lot of 10s, a lot of 11s. You're not seeing the 12s and 13s that you can see in these typical years. So it puts more pressure on the Northern Plains to come in with high pro. You'll probably get very high pro in spring wheat, but you're just not going to have the bushels. Winter wheat, we'll see what comes out of Montana as that harvest starts to ramp up. But I think it bodes well for Northern Plains prices and the harvest. You know, we've had some pullback, obviously, in prices over these last couple of weeks, but I see the lows forming as we speak, and the potential to the upside is huge, really. Even without weather issues in the Midwest over the next 3 or 4 weeks, I still see a strong bull market in wheat developing. And it's based on supply, basically. You've had decent supply coming out of the Southern Plains, but much of it went directly to the feedlots. There was just no corn down there. So you're consuming much of what's coming out of the Southern Plains right away. You don't have the protein there. As you move north, yields are going to fall off a cliff. And winter wheat will probably be okay in the Northern Plains, but spring wheat is just a disaster. And even with these rains that have come yesterday, it's getting to be too late to really shore up yields. You might fill out some heads and you might get some, you know, better yield that way, but you're not going to have near the production what you normally would have. And spring wheat demand is pretty inelastic. So I think there's much more potential for spring wheat. I think Kansas City and Chicago are forming their lows. I think Kansas City will follow Minneapolis more closely than Chicago will, unless you get a bull market, a weather market in corn and beans, and everything just explodes higher. So I'm bullish. I'm bullish wheat. I think as you head into next year, you're going to have to buy acres. You did get a little bit bump in acres this year, and I think, you know, Kansas is looking at corn and beans. So is North Dakota, for that matter. And it's going to be a full-on battle for acres as we get into the fall to secure your winter wheat acres. And then, of course, into next spring. I just see we're not going to have the production to shore up ending stocks for next year. And we see a major shift in demand coming for corn and even wheat. So this is going to continue. Wheat was slow to get into the bull market aspect because corn and beans were the leader there on drop in production in Brazil and Argentina. That has been well established. And of course, the Chinese demand kind of kicked off this bull market. But now wheat was tagging along simply because it was a substitute for feed grain. But now, with production shortfalls in spring wheat in the U.S. up into Canada, now we see wheat entering into a bull market because of a tight supply situation. And demand is going to continue to be strong for feed wheat because of high corn prices worldwide and here in the United States. So wheat is full into this bull market now, and that's going to take us into another season. So I think it looks great. You're going to get your pullbacks, you're going to have your volatility, but generally speaking, we are now entering, wheat is being pulled into the bull market of corn and beans, and in its own right will be well supported, again, largely because of the drought and the drop in production for spring wheat in the United States and Canada. If you have any questions or comments, feel free to call at 1-800-888-9843. This has been Louise Gartner with Spectrum Commodities.